right now I have Ellen Schnepple. She's an anthropologist, and her specialty is French Caribbean Creole language and culture. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's great to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. It's such incredibly interesting work that you do. First of all, what is Creole? We're going to talk about French Creole, but what does the word Creole mean?
Okay. It's a very interesting question, and actually it's quite hard to answer because there are a variety of different definitions for Creole. First of all, it refers to the people, and it was a term that came to us through actually Spanish etymology from a term called criollo back in the 16th century.
Which is still used today.
Absolutely, yes, in Spanish America and also the Spanish Caribbean. But it comes from the verb criar, which means to rear or to breed, and the diminutive criollo referred to the children of the white settlers or Spanish settlers in the colonies.
So if you were a white settler, you came from Spain, lived in, you know, whatever, Colombia or Peru or Ecuador, and you had a child with another Spanish person, that would be a Creole child.
Right.
Criollo.
I think it probably came to be more in the Hispanic Caribbean in the beginning with the early colonization of that area, the Dominican Republic, and so forth. And then in the following century, it was sort of Gallicized, and the term Creole came out of criollo because it meant that with the French empire building, the French would come in and settle in areas, and then their offspring would be called Creoles because they had been born in the island. So it was to differentiate the population that was born in the islands from those that came from Europe or the metropole.
So it really wasn't a racial designation at all?
Well, in the beginning, it was used primarily to refer to the white offspring of the settlers, and then actually it came to be expanded to the population of color as well. And it turns out that in that semantic change, it was began to be used as sort of an adjective, and people would refer to the enslaved population as being neg creole or neg bossal. And the neg creole were the slaves who had been born in the islands, whereas the neg bossal were those who had come over from Africa and hadn't been seasoned yet. And then over time, the designation as an adjective came to refer to the population of color. So, and I think I also wanted to point out to you that it changes over time and space. So if you have people listening from Louisiana or other parts of the Indian Ocean, they probably won't agree with my definition. But it's a semantic issue that changes over time and space within the islands in the Caribbean, Indian Ocean, and Latin America.
Yeah. So where is French Caribbean Creole as a language spoken?
Well, it's spoken in a number of islands. It's spoken in Martinique and Guadeloupe, and also in French Guiana on the tip of South America. It's still spoken in Louisiana, because at one point Louisiana was part of French, was a French colony. And there are also two other islands in the Caribbean, St. Lucia and Dominica, that have French Creoles, and that is from an earlier period of time when they were controlled by the French and later became British and now are independent.
Good heavens.
And then you flip over to the Indian Ocean and you have Reunion Island, which is still a French overseas department, where French Creole is spoken. You have Mauritius, which is an independent former British colony that where there is Creole spoken, and also the Seychelles. So it's largely island populations.
Everybody who's listening right now has to go to Wikipedia and figure out where these places even are. I had to look up Mauritius the other day, which is near Madagascar. But anyway,
right.
Well, so how different is the French Creole? First of all, what is the French Creole language, and how different is it from one place to another in for example, the places that you just talked about?
Right. In the literature, scholars have always said that the languages were mutually intelligible, that if you went from one French island to another, for instance, if you went from Martinique to Haiti to the Seychelles, you could understand it. But over time, people have realized that that's not true. What you understand is if the scholars in these islands are speaking French Creole, you basically can understand it because their Creole is very much infused with a lot of French terms, new terms that maybe Creole has not been able to adapt to or, you know, invent new terms. And so a lot of French...
You mean like iPod?
Actually, yes, and I think computer, you know, like ordinateur, sometimes it's ordinateur in Creole. The phonology of Creole absorbs the French word. But if you travel around to these islands and you visit a lot of the peasants, that's where you're going to have difficulty. I learned Guadeloupean Creole. I feel very familiar speaking with people in that. But when I went to Haiti in February this year, I had a lot of difficulty. It's one of the most difficult of the, what I call, dialects of Creole to learn, simply because with the independence of Haiti in 1804, the contact between the French language and Creole was, it was not abruptly ended, but because so many of the people in Haiti spoke Creole and had very little access to French, that Creole has stayed, in many cases, purer than the ones in the French islands, because with the influence of metropolitan France and now being overseas departments of France, you get Argo coming into the Creole, you get Martiniquans and Guadeloupeans who are over in Paris, they come back after a migratory experience and they have new words that are infused in the Creole. So the language is constantly changing.
What are the roots of the Creole language besides French?
Well, okay, now, it's very interesting. The roots of Creole are actually, the particular Creole I know is a French lexically based Creole. So the root, a lot of the vocabulary comes through French with words that come from Carib Indian language, and also there are some African terms as well from different African languages. The structure of the language many people feel is closer to a lot of different African languages such as Fon. But in my work, I'm not dealing so much with those issues of the origin of Creole and the structure and morphology of the language. I'm much more interested in the social use of the language and how people use it in performance and in speaking and in proverbs and things like that, sort of the living language as opposed to scholarly study of texts. And
well, one wonders, and you'll in a moment speak to us at least a little bit in Creole so we can get a feel for the sound of it. But, for example, we have in both political activism and academia this huge, you know, now decades-old movement of multiculturalism. Has the Creole language and the people who speak it taken more pride, national pride or regional pride in their language? I imagine that it was before, you know, what, the 70s or 60s, probably a looked down upon.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm so glad you asked that question. For a long, long time, Creoles, not just Guadeloupean Creole, but Haitian Creole, Mauritian Creole, were thought to be deformed varieties of French. And this really continued to be believed by not scholars, but also by the local people themselves who spoke the language. Many people were afraid to speak it in schools. They were not allowed to speak it in schools, oftentimes not in church services. The media was exclusively in French. And then that changed with departmentalization in 1946 in Guadeloupe and Martinique. And I'm speaking more about their cases because I know that region so well. The fact that these islands were integrated in politically and economically into France meant that they lost a lot culturally. And over time, they believed that with this loss of cultural autonomy, one of the things that was threatened was their Creole language. And in the 1970s, a nationalist movement in both islands began to look at Creole as perhaps the key symbol that they wanted to use as an emblem for national identity and for cultural pride. So I came on the scene around that period of time when there was very little written about the language, on the language, very few printed materials in the language, and now it's just completely been overwhelmed with writers writing in poetry and novels, singers and bands like Kassav are singing in Creole, and their lyrics are printed on their album covers or their CD covers in Creole.
Where's Kassav from?
They're based in Paris, but the musicians are both from Martinique and Guadeloupe.
Uh-huh.
So they've spent a lot of time in what they call the metropole.
Yeah. Right. The metropole being
France. The hexagon, they usually say. Yeah.
Now, is, for example, are advertising and media using Creole as well?
Absolutely, yeah. It's very interesting. Perhaps not before the 1980s, but with the 1980s, there was a tendency to feel that Creole had really been appropriated by the nationalists, and there was a little bit of a movement to bring it back into sort of center stage so that everyone could have it, and that meant that advertisers were using it, and again, it was for commercial reasons. You could sell soap, healthcare measures, you know, if you needed to get a doctor's visit or something, and
right.
they would announce it over the radio. So it became both commercially and culturally viable on the radio, in newspapers and so forth. The one problem is that it's much easier to understand it and use it orally. Writing in Creole is still somewhat difficult for people, and if you publish your novel in Creole, chances are it's not going to be a huge success, because
right.
your captive audience that will read it is probably a group of intellectuals, writers, artists, journalists,
not the common people
yes.
who speak Creole. Now, unfortunately, we could talk about this for the whole show, and we want to talk to some of the other residents who are also here with us at the table, but you are doing something very interesting, which is you are using your work as an anthropologist to write memoir and creative nonfiction addressing some of these subjects that come up in Creole. And I was wondering if you could read a little bit from one of the short stories, or I guess, would you call this a short story?
It's a short story, yes.
But it's real.
It's real.
This happened
yes,
to you.
Yes, it happened to me. I call it creative nonfiction because I'm actually writing dialogue in Creole, and I don't remember the dialogue, so I'm creating it myself from actual experience.
But it's close to your memory of what actually
absolutely,
happened.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is actually a short piece called A Rite of Passage, and I have just arrived in Guadeloupe. It's 1984. It's my second visit to the island, and I'm there for 2 years of research, and I'm on the beach with a fisherman, and I'm trying to learn Creole. Kinoao, I asked hesitantly of the burly suntan Santois fisherman as he repaired his fish traps on the beach in the lazy afternoon tropical sun while shaded by an almond tree. Shirtless and wearing a straw hat or bakwa, the man was barefoot in torn work pants that were rolled up to his calves and hung below his protruding gut. Poverty clung to him like the tentacles of an octopus to its prey. Etienne, he replied, announcing his name proudly, while seemingly amused by my accent as I tried to speak Creole. What brings you to Guadeloupe, to our little fishing village, Saint-Francois? He asked in his native tongue. I'm here to learn Creole. I want to parler Creole comme vous, you know, to speak Creole just like you.
Creole.
It's patois, broken French. It's not a language, he said as if wanting to discourage my enthusiasm. I had heard this refrain before from Guadeloupians of all social classes, young and old, men and women, city and rural dwellers, Indians and Creoles. How could they think otherwise when living on an island that had been under French domination since 1635, where school was taught in French and TV and radio programs were all broadcast in the refined Gallic tongue? Few of the San Franciscans spoke of their ancestors from Africa, or how in the forced transplantation across the Middle Passage to the Caribbean, their languages had been lost and a new mixed or hybrid language Creole was born. Many didn't know its history, let alone their own. But back in 1981, only one radio program, Pikenga, on Radio Guadeloupe, aired broadcasts in Creole for listening enjoyment on lazy Saturday afternoons. Few written materials existed in the language, and when writing in Creole, people wrote spontaneously in their own way, following no apparent system or rules. After a pause, the silence was broken. Creole's not good for much, but jokes, insults, vulgarity, Etienne said, obviously with some ambivalence. How can you say it's not a language when you speak it every day, when it's your mother tongue, I countered. Langue mamamouin, he corrected me, emphasizing the nasalized vowels that are so typical of Guadeloupean Creole. So why would someone from the metropole want to learn our language? You speak French. That should be enough. It will get you a good job. What do you want with Creole? It won't get you work, he emphasized as he looked down at his torn bamboo and chicken wire fish trap. But I'm not from the metropole. Qui côté ou sorti? He asked, curious about my origins. I'm American.
American?
That's different. Ah, c'est mon ami. You're one of us, he responded in delight. From that day on, we were friends.
And so then skip forward a page, because I want to go ahead and start there.
My afternoons with Etienne were mutually beneficial. He had female companionship, and I improved fluidity in his language. The only problem was that our daily afternoon ritual of Creole conversation began to attract every straggler on the beach, older men, unemployed boys, jobeurs, and voyous. Like the roots of the mangrove, unemployment stretched out its limbs from one end of the island to the other, and savings were as meager as a cow in Grande Terre during the dry season. The male bystanders were curious about my relationship with a married fisherman who'd fathered numerous children, including timoun dehors, or outside children in Creole parlance. According to a local proverb, on pêche coque bien, a fisherman makes good love. I soon became fascinated with the progressive verb form ka in Creole that was used to show continuous or habitual action, and wondered why the Creole verb coquet, to make love, to copulate, was one of the few verbs that didn't need this marker. Did frequent practice make it redundant? One day, as I was seated beside Etienne, as he toiled, an old man leaned over and began to proposition me in front of the crowd. Une belle femme qu'on doit mettre quoi dans couche à moi. A beautiful woman like you must spend the night in my bed, he remarked. I didn't know how to handle his advances. I didn't want to hurt his feelings and say no. After all, I was to live in the community for the rest of the summer. How would he handle rejection? What would the others think of me, a female not succumbing to a man's sexual charms, albeit from someone a bit tattered in appearance and ravaged by time in the local rum agricole? Then all of a sudden I blurted out in Creole, Monsieur, d'après moi, à l'âge au coquin, pas qu'à marcher encore. Or quite literally that at his advanced age, perhaps he couldn't get it up anymore. I was amazed by my bravado, as well as the perfect turn of the Creole phrases. A spirit must have entered my body and taken over my voice, for never, never would I have the nerve to say such a thing, especially as a foreign visitor trying to learn the local cultural norms. The men on the beach burst out laughing. Bellies jiggled. They sucked their teeth in approval. Perhaps the poor old man was indeed impotent, for in these small villages, sexual reputations traveled widely. But if not, he surely didn't call my bluff. I soon learned that sexual innuendo and banter were appreciated by the town folk. It was part of daily language play in a culture where life was hard and oral dexterity valued.
Ellen Schneffel is an anthropologist specializing in French Creole. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, you're so welcome.